Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and obviously right now it's just been a very challenging season in our country between COVID-19 and then with the just horrific death of George Floyd. And as a white person, I've really been looking at my own heart and just how can we make a difference, and especially with this platform that God's blessed me with Hope Is Here, and have engaged with some black friends of mine, and yet just have not felt sure what God wanted me to do yet. But I saw a Facebook post by a friend of mine that's a pastor, John Hampton, and in fact has some Kentucky roots, was pastor at Northern Heights Christian Church in Lexington for a while, and been in Journey Christian Church in Apopka, Florida, which is near Orlando, for the last 10 years, as a great communicator of God's word. But he was very vulnerable and shared a Facebook post recently about his experience with dealing with people that don't have the same skin color as us. And he started off a Facebook post saying, "Prejudice like pride is hard for most of us to self-identify. Regardless of the sermons we hear or the books we read or the documentaries we watch, until God brings us face to face with our own need." John, thanks so much for being with us today, man.
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Share what you posted there in your Facebook post after I just kind of read the intro to your post there, where you got to kind of come face to face with this situation with.
Yeah, sure. I as you said, I grew up in Kentucky, not too far away from the Lexington area, up in Bracken County, a little town called Germantown. I graduated Bracken County High School, ministered in Lexington for about 9 years, so proud son of the Commonwealth. And like a lot of Kentucky, I grew up in a pretty white area, almost an all-white area. And but I always thought I had a good attitude toward people of color, toward black people, and I would not have thought I was racist, that I was prejudiced. I didn't use demeaning terms to describe people of different ethnicity. I had friendships with a lot of black pastors that I really loved, enjoyed being with, learned a lot from them. I know what it's like to be in environments where racial slurs are frequently expressed. I wasn't like that. That wasn't me. I felt I was different. And honestly, Greg, I was self-deceived to think that I was somehow better than being a bigot, truthfully. But that all got, God brought that a mirror. I say this, most of us carry a magnifying glass when what we need is a mirror on this topic, because we're ready to expose and enlarge the flaws and arguments of others, but God wants us to hold a mirror up to look at ourselves. And so I have two daughters, two beautiful girls. My oldest daughter, Anna, was a freshman at Milligan College, which is in Eastern Tennessee. And she called me one day and she said, "Dad, I met a guy I really like." She said, "We've gone out a few times, and Dad, he's black." And I would like to be able to say to you, Greg, when she told me the color of his skin, it really didn't have any bearing on my feelings or my judgment, but I wouldn't be truthful. And after I heard her, I tried to give her all the familiar and conventional cautions that, you know, people are quick to give others who are dating someone from a different ethnic background, and particularly when a white woman dates a black man. But, you know, when God begins to confront you and your daughter says something like that to you, and then later on in the year she wanted to bring him home to meet us, and she did. And I said in the post, my heart was my home was open to him, or my house was open to him, but my heart was struggling with where this might lead. And God really began to zero in on me and say, John, this isn't about what you preach to others. This isn't about your image. This isn't about your reputation. This is about who you are as a man. This is about what you really believe, not just what you say you believe. This is about looking your child in the eye, whom you taught to sing, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. And so, you know, it still makes me a little emotional when I think about that, because God had to do a work in my heart to help me see my own need and, in turn, help me be the best dad I could be to my daughter. They ended up getting married, been married, I think we got married in 2011, so what is that, 8 years, or will be this fall. Have three beautiful boys, our grandsons, Hampton, Davis, and Bryant. And one of the things I said, which is so true, the part of the country I grew up in Kentucky, Hampton is usually not a name associated with a biracial baby, but now by the grace of God it is, and it's changed my world. It's changed my perspective, and obviously it changes how I see what's going on, because Black lives matter, and when it's your son-in-law and grandchildren, and you understand how much they matter to you.
Well, I just love your authenticity, and, you know, until we face something, like you said, you know, eye to eye with somebody or a situation. I know until I went through a bankruptcy and a divorce, I used to judge people and, you know, think I was a good Christian, had a good heart. But after I went through a divorce and bankruptcy, I realized that, you know, sometimes life happens. And right now, obviously, at a much, you know, a very microscope issue, we're all as white people, Caucasians, trying to look at that. And yet I had a guy when I coached college basketball at Western Kentucky University for a couple years, John, we had a Black player, Darius Hall from Detroit, Michigan, and big personality. I mean, like Magic Johnson smile, great heart, great guy. And he got cut one day, and he came running over to me, Coach, I got cut. I think I need stitches. And the blood was just pouring. And you know, I can't say it was an audible voice, but if God ever spoke to me, it was clearly right then. And even though I saw what Darius was talking about, I was focused on the red blood, and it just, I felt like the Lord said, the same blood that I shed for your white self, I shed for this Black young man. And man, it just, I mean, it just opened my eyes and my heart. And I mean, that was in 1992, and I've never forgotten it. And I feel like that's kind of what you're sharing. Is that kind of what you're saying there, that the blood of Jesus, no matter what our skin color is, he died for all of us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, that's an interesting, you know, scriptural reference in Acts chapter 17, I believe it is. I may need to look at that. But basically, he says that God has made from one blood, all men. So there is that statement that you know, regardless of our skin color on the outside, our we all bleed the same. Our blood's all red, and the red shed blood of Jesus covers us all.
Well, and you shared just even recently that you went to a Black Lives Event Matter there in Apopka, where you're pastor, and that you knelt for the 8 minutes in memory of the senseless killing of George Floyd. And man, once again, when you actually participate, you know, and get close up in a situation, it really helps our heart and see the pain and suffering that's gone on, doesn't it?
Oh my, that was a sobering moment. And you know, that's a challenge maybe for all of us. We were outside of our local police station with several hundred people, and all took a knee on the concrete pavement. And, you know, I'm 57, so kneeling on concrete is not comfortable. But when you realize that 8 minutes and 40 some seconds felt like forever, Greg, I just didn't feel like it was ever going to end. And about halfway through, you heard people sobbing. You heard people just, you know, really, it was an emotional, it wasn't just physically painful. It was an emotionally painful, to understand the pain of what, George Floyd went through, but so many others, have gone through who have been the victims of injustice. So, that was another, moment where God really began to help me see some things that I needed to see.
We only got a couple minutes left, John, but what would you share, you know, to people listening here in Central Kentucky, just about as we walk through this, trying to heal from the racial divide that's gone on in our country for a long time and is finally really, I think, being brought to a head, kind of at a defining moment? What would you share to people listening today?
Well, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not a statesman. I'm not a sociologist. I'm not an expert on policing. But I've been white all my life, and I've been a pastor for almost 40 years. So I know a little bit about white church folk. And here's what I would say. All white Christians believe in sin. Most white Christians believe that racism is a sin. Hardly any white Christians believe the sin of racism lives in them. And thinking we're not a part of the problem is the problem. And so we have to really begin to look with us. You know, I know one of those statements that a lot of Christians who love patriotism and love to quote scriptures and apply it to America. The one from First Chronicles that we hear a lot, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, confess their sin, let's start with this sin. Let's start with ourselves. Let's start with us and see what God does to bring healing to our land.
Amen. John, we got about 45 seconds left. Could you close us out in prayer, please?
Sure will. So, Father, we hear the psalmist say, search me, O God. Not search them, not search him, not search her, but search me, O God. And we pray, Father, that as we begin to let you and your Holy Spirit and the body of Christ that is so diverse in your eyes. And as we stand before heaven where there's every tongue and every tribe and every nation will be represented before the throne, Father, may your church here on earth begin to look more like that church in heaven. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. John, thanks so much for just sharing your heart, your story, and pray for continued healing in the Apopka, Orlando area. And, man, just appreciate you sharing with us today. Love your heart, brother.
Yeah, Greg. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. And good to talk to you.
All right. That is John Hampton, a pastor of Journey Church in Apopka, Florida, a former pastor, lead pastor of Northern Heights Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky, just as we all continue to look at our hearts and how we can heal this racial divide in our country. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
For all your heating and air needs, contact the professionals at Green Box Heating and Air. Locally owned for over a decade, Green Box Heating and Air wants to help you get ready now for the spring and upcoming hot summer months. To request service, call Green Box Heating and Air today at 859-279-0214. Again, that's 859-279-0214.